You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. All right, we have a special guest this week. My mom is here, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Kelly's mom. Do I get to call you something other than Kelly's mom, or is that how we...
They've only ever called me Kelly's mom.
Kelly's mom. Okay, yep. Done.
I feel like deep, deep, if we were writing listeners, like, because my mom used to be a regular segment, and she would, like...
Had opinions.
Send voicemails in back in, like, before that was a thing.
I think I was even when you guys did the... Five Ring Circus.
Mm-hmm. A while ago.
I sent in voicemails to that. That was deep early Kelly and Sarah.
Oh, I love it.
Sarah. Yeah. Old Sarah. Before Feisty, even, I think.
Yeah, so we're going to say new Sarah. Sarah True is not here today. She's on a plane. First, I thought she was headed to a race and hadn't told us because that sounds like her. But no, I think she's just traveling for...
Yeah, I did check. I did check the start list. I don't think she's down for Texas.
And then, because she always doesn't tell us. And then Sid is with us and Khadijah, because Jocelyn is at a NASCAR race.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's a thing. Her husband's into it. Khadijah, she didn't like your idea of podcasting from the van.
Oh, why?
I don't know why.
I think that's like brilliant.
That's like my favorite place. I like to just go park it.
Is she in an RV in the center of the fields? Like, would we hear the the cars going around? Maybe that's the issue.
Yeah. Apparently her husband's quite into NASCAR. She's talked about that. So
NASCAR is it at one of the race venues?
Is it one of the 100 venues?
Like Daytona.
Yeah. So I figured today, you guys, you can share all your advice for my mom for crewing.
Yeah.
My big 100K this week. And then in the second half of the show, we will, after this ad break, talk about actual triathlon, as we sometimes do.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
All right, so I'm doing my 100K this weekend, guys, and I feel like you both crewed for big things. So what is your crew advice for my mom?
It, Is it a lap course, your 100K?
It's just like out in the mountains. Well, foothills, whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
In fact, I think the start is so far out and deep that we can't even be there as the crew.
Oh, really? I think as crew, you definitely need crew snacks.
For yourself.
For myself.
For yourself. Yeah, definitely crew snacks for yourself.
There's a bag of Matt's chocolate chip cookies. I should take those.
Yeah, it's a very long...
We lost Khadijah. Khadijah will come back at some point. It's a classic, classic podcasting.
It's a very long day, and the crew need to be fed and watered as well. Forget the athlete. The crew need to have a good day. Have you not got your spreadsheet on, like, this is what I need where and at what place?
I need a spreadsheet.
I'm not a spreadsheet type of person. can
you make me a list? Bullet points or something?
People keep asking me, like, oh my God, are you ready? Are you ready? And you're like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. No. I'll tell you it. Yeah. I don't know. 10 miles, 50 miles or whatever.
Yeah. So have you run them, Sid? Or did you crew somebody else's?
I crewed somebody else. Yeah, I crewed Didi Griesbauer for her Ultraman in Hawaii. So that was 3 days. But we also had a crew of 5 of us.
I would think with 3 days, you'd need a spreadsheet.
You need a spreadsheet.
We did. Yeah. And Didi is very spreadsheet. So she had us down to literally like the time we were getting up, packing bags, leaving the house, breakfast, first feed and stuff like that. But it did all work. So, yeah. But my advice would be, ask your athlete what their preferences are, and also like when things, as you get further into the race, what sort of encouragement do they want? Do they want good stuff or like
hardening? We used to talk all the time about like, what do you want me to yell at you from the sidelines of the triathlons that I've been to? I went to Placid and I went to Louisville. You didn't want me yelling at you at Louisville. No. That was not a fun race.
There's like, you know, when people are like, there's like the pause and they're like, you're doing okay.
Or you look strong. Like, they've abandoned giving anything and it's just like a clap and you're like, bad now, isn't it? So that's the only thing I'd be like, right, what do you want to hear or what do you,
I told Steve, my husband, because like, okay, so I have never run more than 50K. So I know it's going to be terrible, right? Like I'm aware that it's going to be awful. So I told him I'm going to get to you guys at like 30 miles and I'm going to be like, this is stupid. I hate this. I want like, and you're going to have to just be like, you signed up for it.
That's it. Do you want the, keep going, well done, carry on, or like, well, it was your stupid idea?
Khadijah, we figured you just rejoin the ride like later.
Yeah.
Came back. So we're discussing what kind of advice, she should yell at me during this 100K.
I know when I was pacing Ariel at Ultraman, just leave him alone. Let him say. I'm serious. Just let him, because I mean, you're going to go through something. I've never run that far. The farthest I've ever run is a marathon. And I mentally, at some point, it stops being physical. It's all in your mind.
Well, she'll have done a marathon before we ever even see her at the first crew stop.
Yeah, well, the first crew is like 20 something miles. So it's like by the time you get there,
Are you self-sufficient until then or that?
Yeah, well, there's so many. Look, this is like the Ironman of trail racing, right? It's like 2,500 people. These aid stations are going to be like full on. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't like go out and survive in the woods. This is like.
It's not the Barclays.
No.
The other thing that I found quite good with Didi was, and she was doing the double marathon. And I know you won't be pacing with her, so I was running with her.
No, but I will not.
But when you see them, it's like, do you want count down or count up? So it's like, you've only got 40K to go, or you've done 60K kind of thing. Like, which
halfway. One is better?
Yeah, halfway doesn't matter, but
You're almost done, don't you?
You're almost done.
Doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah, the first thing. So, Lots of music, lots of good vibes. That's
I do think,
good.
I might bring, I did think I might bring my like iPod, because like, I feel like the biggest thing is when you're just like out there for hours and you're like,
are you allowed to take one?
No, honestly, I really should read the athlete guide. Like,
yeah.
Okay. You know how people say like, oh, triathletes are type A. And you know that like, they're always like, it's better to be slightly undercooked than overcooked. And I'm like, how undercooked?
Yes, how undercooked are we talking? Are we raw? I think as well, I don't know.
He does like sushi, so I mean.
I haven't raced that long either, but like if it's that many people as well, find a friend, like run with somebody. Like well, find
that's
a group.
That's a 50K?
And, that's my, you need like a run buddy, right? And like the one I met at that 50K I did, I mean, we're not going to become best friends, but we spent like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you're like, sure, man, tell me about every race you've ever done in excruciating detail. Yeah.
And if you don't like that, it'll either keep you going and pass the time, or it'll make you run faster to get away from them, or run slower, whichever way.
No. Yeah. You guys, though, I like didn't realize how, like, you know how everybody's all worried about Ironman coming into trail running, the trail runners?
Yeah.
I didn't quite realize like how big this is. It is 2,500 people like in the four races. And there's like a huge expo and everyone's bringing crew. So that's like 10,000 people descending on like a town of like 20,000 people.
What's the name of the race again?
It's Canyons. It's
Canyon. Yeah. Canyons. I thought it was. Yeah. Yeah. So it is one of the big.
It's one of the big ones.
It's one of the big ones. Yeah. Yeah.
But how big is it usually?
So like it used to, that's the other thing around here. It was a local race before. So everyone I know like has done it. And they're like, back in my day, it used to start uphill. But it's like, it's fascinating basically to see these trail runners like freaking out about.
Is it a stone collection race?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to get my stones.
What does that mean? Stone collection.
Okay.
It's like your Ironman frequent flyer points to get you into UTMB.
So UTMB runs a raffle to get in now because it's like oversubscribed. But instead of calling them raffle tickets, they call them stones. Because it sounds cool. And so you get stones for finishing another like UTMB circuit race. And because this is a majors, you get double the stones. So I get a lot of stones I got to finish. So I'm going to finish.
That's what I'm going to yell at you then.
Yeah, like no matter
actually,
what.
Yeah. Think of the stones.
Think of the stones.
And because it's a major.
Now there'll be rumors that Kelly's a stoner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they get started. Yeah.
I mean, get you some Mick Jagger playing.
Because it's also like the people who win automatically get into UTMB is the other thing because it's a majors. But I don't think that's going to be an issue.
I was going to say, is that what we're considering here? Is that going to be the fast track through?
The time they have listed for when the award ceremony is. Was my original A goal for what I could finish. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to finish by that. So, you know.
Won't be at the awards.
Won't be there.
Is it an age group kind of thing? How do they set these up?
Yeah, there's pros. There are pro ultra runners. I feel like when we talk about pro triathletes being kind of a mixed bag, pro ultra runners are even more of a mixed bag. And then there are age groups and age group categories and
is there masters
awards for age groups and all that. So it's all.
If you win your age group, is that an automatic ticket to UTMB?
It is. But here, tell me what you guys think about this. So it's top 10 overall. So like the top 10 pros, but there is no pro category. It's just sort of like, because pro categories don't exist in ultra running.
They're just mixed in with
age groups. Just, I mean, just whatever. Ultra running is, right? But so it's the top 10 overall, and then it's the winner of each age group category. So in your head, doesn't that mean then that would be after the top 10?
Like, so five people in your age group.
You know what I'm saying? Because like
in the top 10.
Yeah. Like the winner of my age group is definitely going to be in the top 10. So I was
Yeah. So if you're like your mom said, if five people from your age group are in the top 10 overall, then the winner is a sixth person.
That's what I think. That's the way I'm reading it. So if that ends up, so there's a slim chance I could pull that off. It's not high, but. So yeah, we'll see. It's, it'll be something.
Yeah. It's like, I just go into the races later, but I saw they were like for Texas this weekend, it's six male slots and six female slots for the pros. I was like, oh wow, that's quite a lot. And I was like, I was seeing like them rolling down and things.
Like so, how far it'll roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be, I don't know. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know if this is my thing, but it'll be interesting.
Are you excited yet, or is it not that?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, so I was at a like all day wine tasting on Sunday, so I got a lot of people ask me if I was excited. So by the end, I was sort of like,
I was like, I'm excited about this next glass of wine, which has fruit flavors of licorice or whatever.
Oaky, you know, after. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
I'm not a big fan of people telling me how excited I should be about something.
I hate that question. I hate the question, are you ready?
Oppositional? Like, tell me how to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, the how are you ready is also, obviously it's like, I mean, what else are you going to ask?
I know it's hard, isn't it? I hate being asked that question, and yet that's the question I find asking.
Oh, I've done it to like everyone, right? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's terrible. Are you ready? How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? What are you going to eat?
Yeah, we got to come up with maybe we should come up with a new, like, we should crowdsource everybody who's listening. What's a new question that you should ask people before a race?
Before a race, like, yeah.
Are you ready? How do you feel? We got to come up with a...
Yes.
Are you
excited? Yeah, okay, let's do that. What do people want to be asked? Or is it just like, fuck off?
I feel like it should be something. I think it should be something like, how bad is this gonna go?
Yeah. Well, I feel we should just make questions with like, you know, don't ask me anything, f off sort of thing. Like, let me be on my own.
All right, Sid. Well, since Khadija, she has terrible internet, she keeps falling off the ride and coming back.
Yeah.
Are you signed up for any races yet, or did you? If you were joking, did you do the Ironman Pro Series and go through and sign up for everything to get a spot?
I did. I actually did. I honestly did. I'm not joking.
I thought it was a joke.
And I signed up for a load of stuff, and then I had to like literally 2 days later withdraw from the very first one. But at least I've withdrawn from that. I felt that was the right thing to do. So I withdrew and changed from an individual to a relay. So, and then I have signed up for a load of races, but I have no plans at the moment of what I'm doing. So I just signed up on the off again, like to make sure I'm on the list.
So if you just happen to be
fit and ready
on a certain weekend,
good.
Yeah. Then and if I happen once I find out in the next few weeks where I'm at with fitness, I'll then make a plan.
You're gonna get up the day before and go, I think I'll run this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Sarah is not here right now because she's on a plane, but she basically does that. She's like, once she gets fit, then she's like, yeah, I'll do this race.
I got a babysitter this weekend. It'll be fine.
Yeah. That's what I thought I'd do. So we'll see. Yeah. But Roth, I'm down for Roth, so that's probably the next one.
Oh, yeah, right. You're doing Roth. Of course. Obviously. I shouldn't have asked. I shouldn't have
done. Even I know about Roth.
Did you know what I just found out this week? That Challenge New Jersey in the U.S. offers spots to Roth.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah. I can't remember what the... Is it just like raffle off, or is it actually like winners?
It's like stones.
Is it like stones?
I think it is like winners and then also raffle, right?
The challenge stone. Yeah.
Challenge stones. That's what they should add.
Exactly.
What would be the equivalent for challenge?
Yeah, we go with another name. We'll solve that problem.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then we will talk about triathlon. And maybe Khadija will get back on. All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TriHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TriHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TriHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try TriHard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TriHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. The Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. I'm personally very excited to have Precision Fuel and Hydration signing on as a new Feisty Tri sponsor, precisely because of their commitment to education and to making sure that all the women lining up for triathlons this year have all the information you need to fuel your races. Like, did you know women often underfuel and more typically complain about gel consistency, which I know I personally like really love the light and easy to get down precision gels, which still have 30 grams of carbohydrates. But the most important thing is to test all of this yourself. And that's why you can use Precision Sweat Testing Spreadsheet to do your own testing and to calculate your own sweat loss. And look, like, I know that can sound intimidating. I also was, but it's really super manageable. When you enter your numbers into their formula, it spits out how much sweat you lose, how much sodium, and then you can calculate and figure out what works for you. And then you can book your totally free consultation with their sports scientists who will walk you through your own race plan. You can find all of this information and a ton more on female fueling, hydration, things to know in the Precision Fuel and Hydration Knowledge Hub on their website. And you can test out their gels, drink mixes, electrolyte pills, and their specially formulated flow gel, which is made just for how people fuel in long course triathlon. Get 15% off your first order with the code FTP15. That's FTP, the number 15, like Feisty Triathlon Pods or like Functional Threshold Power. FTP15 at pfandh.com. I feel like this is the...
It's like old time Sid Talks.
Yeah, this is like the weirdest group ride. People are like coming and going.
It's kind of like a normal triathlon ride where people like say they're going to set off at a casual pace and go like flat out from the go. Yeah.
Drop everyone else. Right? Yeah, they're like, oh, this is a base ride. Yeah. That's the worst. One time, I actually cracked like the top 20 on a QOM in Boulder, which was very hard for me, right?
Yeah.
And then you go and you're like, look at the people ahead of you who are all like, I knew, like they're pros. And they're like, oh, good, easy ride. And you're like, shut up. Yeah. Like, I know you're faster than me, but not like that much faster.
Yeah.
So did you, I mean, I didn't actually watch the London Marathon at all, but since you're British.
I did.
You did.
I did watch it. I don't know. I've always had a fascination with London Marathon, and I was... it's just, I think I would imagine the London Marathon is the closest to the New York Marathon in terms of the feeling, the atmosphere. It always surprises me, and I get this kind of amazing good feeling about the London Marathon, about how many people do it in fancy dress and how much publicity people get for doing it in fancy dress. Like, there are people running with fridges attached to that. I mean, that's not fancy dress, that's just stupid, but anyway. But it has this huge association with charity and fancy dress, and I actually think this year they broke the record for the biggest one-day charity event of raising money, which, and the previous record, going off on a tangent a bit, was 2019. So I do think there's a bit of a, I think it was probably on a trajectory anyway, and then obviously COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we've, and then now we're starting to see it all come back up, you know, a few years later.
Is it like U.S. marathons where you like have? You can get in by running on a charity team.
Yes.
You can.
Yeah. And there are times and there, it's very similar to New York, but it's bigger. It's actually, it's like it. More
I think
people.
It's the biggest it's in the, biggest. The world.
It's like 50 something, 50,000.
I think
people.
It's 55 or so in this. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's really big. Yeah. I was reading.
Well, streets aren't that big.
No. I feel like the Boston Marathon director, race director ran it. And I'm somehow on his like random ass email blast that he like sends people, and like that isn't like, this is not a professional email, like he just like sends his random thoughts. Yeah. And so he ran it, and but he was like, I wanted to run it just as a runner in like wave four, and he was like, yeah, that, like you live, like if I had wanted to run faster, like
yeah,
there was no way, like you couldn't, there was no room.
Like another interesting thing that was relevant this year, and I know we'll get onto the actual performances of the professionals and the elite, but so have you heard of the program called EastEnders?
No.
Yes, right. I know about EastEnders.
Oh, so yes. EastEnders is a British serial TV soap opera. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. It's been around for absolutely years. I don't watch it, but two of the cast members from EastEnders were running the marathon, but as the actor
as
and actress,
their characters,
as their characters. So they'd set up. It was this. I was watching like behind the scenes, and it was fascinating because they were actually running it themselves. Doing the whole thing, but at the same time had to remember they were also at certain points had to be in character because it was like their characters that were running it, and they did the whole legit marathon.
Interesting.
And then they'd filmed obviously some bits of like the start and the finish, they'd filmed like a few days ago or whatever,
right. But then multi-camera.
Yeah, but then actually on the day to get the right filming, they got the film crews had got set up in certain locations. And it was literally, they had one shot because you couldn't really get these the characters to, oh, can you go back and run that again? And then the other interesting thing was because it then came out on Monday, they had literally like, as soon as the athlete, the characters had run past, they took
so
the recording.
Like for some later episode.
No. So they had to, normally they say they have like 3 week turnaround.
Yeah, it's like a normal. Yeah, my friend.
But they were like literally taking the cards out, sending it over to the studio. And I haven't seen the finished you know, episode. Again, I don't watch and I don't know the background to the story or anything, but I thought like, wow, can you imagine, like, because I don't think the actresses are like athletes, so one, they have to go through a marathon, which is no easy task, and then at certain stages remember they're in character
right
of who they're playing and not
they've done that a few times for the New York, like that's happened a few times for New York marathon, you know, like if you see like different movies, and yeah, they like the marathon is not good at, they're like
they're
sometimes
not stopping,
right, they're not stopping, no. Like make concessions,
okay, yeah, everybody back up,
yeah. Can you just run that one again, oh, and again, yeah. Can we do that against someone else
in the way? Yeah. Do it again with feeling,
do you know, so Paris, this is obviously a lot of movies and stuff film in Paris. They're not allowing any filming, like no movies can film this summer because of the Olympics.
Have you heard of the Netflix movie coming out in June, though?
No. Well, I mean, there are many, but which one? What?
The Shark in the Seine.
Oh.
That takes out, and it's filmed. So it's all in French, I found out, because I told everyone at Swim, and they thought I was going mad. They were like, you've dreamt this. I'm like, no, this is a real film that's coming out. It comes out at the beginning of June. And it's about this shark that gets into the River Seine, and it is the Olympic triathlon, and it takes out the field. So I'm actually more interested to see, like, did anyone get a call up for doing, like, you know, the...
Yeah, come and be in the...
Come and be in the background. So I don't know what footage they've used or what they've done, but it takes out, like, the swim leg of the Olympic triathlon, and there's a shark.
Literally someone's leg gets taken out.
Yeah, that would be like
I think
a
it
good...
takes the whole field.
I mean, the Olympic triathletes are always saying they don't get paid enough. So it'd be movie extras, yeah.
Movie extras, exactly.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, if I was going to the Olympics, which obviously I'm not and it's never going to happen, I would not be watching that movie. I would not
no,
be watching
No, I don't think there's any
movie.
Way that any of them are watching.
No. But anyway.
When Kelly was little, we lived near like a city pool that she was on the swim team and stuff. And she became convinced there were sharks in the bottom of the pool.
Like,
oh yeah,
come
I do.
Up through the grate. Yeah,
I do all the time. Yeah,
yeah. Like, this makes sense to people who swim
in
a lot.
Chicago.
Yeah,
sharks.
We're like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
My other thing at the moment, not with sharks, but where we're swimming, it has a bubble over it for winter. Yeah. And I'm convinced. I've like been on sessions where I've been swimming on my own, and I'm like looking at how do I escape when the bubble collapses and traps me.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Have a plan.
You gotta always have a plan. London, I did. Obviously, it was a good race. Obviously, like, women's world record was set, or women's only world record was set, which is fast. Like, and then, like, I went down that hole, right, of, like, what is a women's only? Like, I mean, yeah. I knew what a women's only record was. It's when the women get a separate race, and so there's not men mixed in.
How do they do that? No, do the men just not start as early?
Yeah, so yeah. There are not that many opportunities, because that doesn't happen that often, that you give the women enough of a head start that the men don't get messed
up. Why not?
Because it's just because and whatever. Anyway, but at London, you do. And so they have a pure race. No. And then when you're like, well, it's running, like, it probably doesn't make that big a difference. The difference is a 2:11 to a 2:16.
Yeah.
Between two records.
That's like, quite a lot.
You go 5 minutes faster when you've got guys around you.
I know they were different courses, like, before somebody asked me, but still kind of a lot. But yeah, and then okay, here's the thing that's blowing my mind right now. Kenya took the top three spots at Boston, Kenyan women. Kenya took first and third at the London Marathon.
With different people.
Different. Yeah, that's what my husband said. My husband went, that's the fine. Same people. And I was like, no. So who makes the Olympics?
What do you want to bet? The Kenyans have six people training for the Olympics that aren't even running Boston.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the US and the British triathlon teams on the women's side.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Or the French men. Yeah. One of the people who's on the short list for the Olympic team actually didn't race either of those races because she had already raced Tokyo. And you're like, cool.
Yeah. So do you do it off then, like, personal best, because they've all got the, I'm assuming most people have got, they've all got the qualifying.
They've all got fast personal best. Obviously, Kenya has one of those, well, I think, I mean, we have discussions, shitty systems where, like, they just decide. Like, somebody goes into a room and is like, make the Olympics.
Like, someone pays some money under the table from an agent to or something. But yeah.
Sid, we're not going to cast. Yeah,
not saying that. Yeah. No. Nope.
So, but yeah,
not that we know anything about, you know, the Olympic selection process.
Well, so we just, because triathlon, like, British has a mixed system where, like, you can lock down a spot if you're, like, good enough, but then it's the selection. And the US has a little bit more of a, you have to, like, hit these marks system. Right. So
it's US, interesting. I don't know, broad generalizations here, but the US is very, very fond of the, like, mm-hmm. race it, you get it, mm-hmm. you know, like.
In our ethos.
Yeah, well, it's also in that whole individualist kind of thing. Man, like, we don't want other people.
I don't want people telling me if I'm good enough or not.
I don't want people telling me how I'm supposed to feel.
It is hard, like, with triathlon. You know, you look at swimming and track and field, and it's like, if you've got the qualifying time and you're in the top three, kind of you're in, and you just can't do that
with
triathlon. But yeah.
So it'll be interesting because we are getting down to the final qualifying races.
We are. Like, the other thing with London, we had two British men, third and fourth, which was quite a surprise.
Did you see
as well.
Third place guy wore a, like, Casio non-smartwatch.
Yeah, it was brilliant. But he was still checking it for pace. I don't know what was telling him.
Yeah, he's like, one time my watch broke in a race, and I literally, like, and this is just, you know how you're, like, delusional or whatever, and, like, one of the pro men goes by me because there's a lap, and I go to him, I go, how fast are we running? And he's like, what the fuck? So anyway.
Yeah.
There were obviously big-ish races last past weekend. Now, we're getting to the time of year where there's, like, too many fucking races. So we have Texas coming up this upcoming weekend.
Yes.
Which is packed again. What do you think is going on? Because I feel like you'll have a thought with, we get like 82 men in Valencia, 63 in Oceanside. We have another like 70 men signed up for Texas. Like, what is happening here?
I think there's a couple of things. I think one, the Ironman Pro Series.
Sure.
And this is another, you know, this is, Texas is the second race in the series, but it's also the first full distance race. So you're getting those athletes that are like, really wanting to go for the series because they need to put a full distance race down. Texas is always for some reason a popular race anyway amongst the pros.
I don't know why either.
I'm not a fan, but that's fine. I've got some friends who love it and they're racing.
I mean, I know.
This year
is like the only, like, there are two options before the qualifying in all of North America, so it's kind of either Texas or Placid, right? Like, so I get that.
Exactly. There's limited
but there's
options.
Still something like, but Valencia wasn't part of the Pro Series, and Valencia was European, not American, because everyone was blaming the Americans.
Yeah. The other thing I think is just we are seeing this huge influx of new professionals that they maybe turned professional a couple of years ago, have been sort of in and around the mix, but not doing stuff. And then now, maybe with the Pro Series as well, and maybe with the T100, whatever it is, they're now seeing, oh, actually, I'm going to go and give this a shot. And actually, there's an opportunity to get in a top 50 at the end of the year. And we're seeing, again, I also think it's actually the remnants is the wrong word, the lag effect from COVID still.
Oh, it absolutely athletes,
of people that were training and maybe training with jobs and then are now going, oh, actually, I had then some good age group results off the back of those years. Yeah. Why don't I take my license?
I'm going to say, you and your single-handed effort to get people up.
I was trying to, forever I was trying to convince women, but now we have all these men. That's why it's been weird. It's all men. It's all for, like, jokingly.
Men are always overconfident.
But I do
because
think-
Because boys are overconfident, yeah.
A lot of people have been complaining. There's been a lot of low-level bitching. Sid knows this, among the pro. There's been a lot of low-level bitching about, like, oh, anyone can be a pro now. There's too many pros. But I would love to see, like, sure, there is a lot more men taking their license this year than there has historically been. But I would love to see that compared to the last 4 years. Because my suspicion, like you're saying, is that there was a like very, very small numbers for the last 4 years. And there's been this lag. And so all these people who were going to do it or who were waiting to get
if there hadn't been COVID, they'd have taken their pro license.
Or they like had a deferred Kona last year for age group and they went to that, right? Like there's all, so they were waiting. And now we have this like everyone's hitting because it is a lot.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Why aren't the women?
The women are also, I mean,
it's a big start list on the women's side as well. I just think there's, again, the standard arguments, that's not the right word. Less women do the sport.
Yeah.
Period. So we're still to get that. But I also think,
when you're talking about like a percentage of age groupers who took their pro license, the percentage out of the women is from a smaller.
And there's still,
so the bucket is smaller, but there is still also that perception of the women have got the family, or how can they're a bit more like they feel that, oh, it feels selfish to take it because I'm meant to be looking after kids or the career, or I don't know.
That is what you historically see is like the top 10 historically at Kona, men and women, more of the men in the age group field would take it, would be pro the next year versus more of the women. And when you talk to women, they always are like, I'm not good enough. And that's why, like, I'm always like, you're good enough. You have more sponsors than the pros.
Sponsors doesn't make a difference or not. I think for me turning pro, I have to win worlds as an age grouper outright. So that maybe is an indication of a female. So then you're only going to get, if that's the mindset, you get a few females every year. Whereas I think, and it's just, this is very stereotypical in interviewing, isn't it? Like a job description. You know, if the job description has 10 characteristics, the male says, sweeping statement, listeners, the male says, oh, I have two of those characteristics, I'm going to apply for the job. Where the female goes, oh, I only have 8, I'm not going to apply.
Right. So that's what definitely happens. But there are more women too. It's just still less. Yeah. Because the women's field at Texas is still like 37 or something.
Yeah, it's still huge. Still big. Yeah. I mean,
I think
like we said,
the whole
6 spots.
Podium's returning too, it's my understanding, from last year.
What do you mean?
The
people. Sorry. Oh, gotcha.
The women's podium, yes, for sure. I know that they are all returning. I can't remember the men's podium. So
it was Dr. Matt.
Hansen.
Which is my mom's favorite, if I would say that. Rudy and then Will Kalucki, who I can never say his last name. And I think Rudy is the only one who's not back this year.
Yeah, I was going to say Rudy's not back. Mm-hmm. It was Florida, wasn't it, that Joe Skipper was...
Yeah, and then on the women's side, it was Kat, Jocelyn, and...
Maya,
I was like losing her name.
Yeah, so they're all back. And then I think the interesting ones, Alice Alberts, again.
That is interesting.
You know,
I like how we just say that. We're like, yeah, that's interesting. Everyone else is like,
exactly.
What?
No, I was going to add the context.
Please, speculate wildly. Why don't we?
She, again, sort of turned pro last year, won a couple of races, declined to go to Kona, has accepted Nice, so she already has her slot. But I think that'll be interesting to see how she lines up against Seth. Obviously, Kat's coming off a calf injury, so we don't know where she's at. Fenella Langridge in there, and then you've got like Danielle Lewis, who was again sort of sick at the end of last year but seems to be coming back to health, Lottie Wilms, and then I reckon I'm just looking down the other list
Names now.
I am just naming Hannah Berry, I think, will be an interesting one. She sort of had a breakout year last year. So that's
which it took me forever at Kona to realize that Hannah Berry was Hannah Wells.
Yes.
Yeah. But I feel like I need this PSA for everyone else. Yeah.
That's who that is.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, you know, even someone like Penny Slade, Kylie Simpson's always raced well within Australia, is a very good runner, has never kind of raced outside of Australia. So, yeah.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. It is like.
Like you said, with this big influx of athletes, there's always those athletes that don't have sort of a ranking or a rating.
Right.
You don't know anything about them, but
they could come out of anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You had said something about the really, really hot race in Asia that Ashley Gentle did it.
Singapore.
Because she's so good at really hot races. Very good at hot Texas races. Is going to be hot.
It will be hot. Ashley Gentle doesn't do foals, but yes, it will be hot. And so some of the people coming over from Southern Hemisphere will fare often a little better.
They've
adapted to the time zones. So.
And the heat.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Obviously, it's really nice. I mean, I had not like mixed feelings about the pro series going in, just sort of I was like skeptical that people would do it. But it's turning out that it's the everyman's pro series. Everyone can do it. So. Yeah.
And you know what? That's very much what they are. Well, it can if you can get on the start list before it shuts, but that's very much their like.
That's what they're going for.
I don't know if you tagline it because their tagline is every second counts, but yeah.
I know that what was their tagline was every second counts, and then there was something else that was also like play on the fact that like so every second is worth a point.
Yes.
Every second count. Yeah.
Which was the whole thing about Taylor being so far ahead.
Yeah. Which is, goes back to like when they used to the pros used to get paid as a percentage of the winner's time. So the winner would, if they were well ahead, like I think Julie Dibbins did it, she would stop just before the finish line.
And wait
for the pros so that they were in within that cut so they got paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The other nice thing about, I mean, the pro series is that Ironman has put, like, they actually have been doing a good job, I think, like, putting more effort into marketing. And, ready for this transition? And they have an anti-doping program.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So.
All right, just pull that hand grenade and leave it in the room.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, so we were going to talk about just because, so it's been a hot topic this week. And I don't know, you and I were like, I don't know why this is a hot topic and this has been an issue for a while. You guys just didn't listen to us. And basically, a bunch of people found out that the PTO does not run an out-of-competition testing pool, which is like matters because in competition testing, the kind that you get like before and after a race is only so effective, right? Like we all know it's happening. And so so in order to like effectively combat doping, you kind of have to run an out-of-competition testing. In order to do that, you have to have a pool of athletes because you otherwise like don't.
Well, you have to be a WADA code signatory to have access to a whereabouts system.
It's a whole system.
Yeah. Is it expensive? Yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
And so like, you have to like have a whole system. You have to be part of the WADA code. You run it through the same database so that everyone can share data as part of it. Like, so all the governing bodies have one. World Triathlon has one. Ironman's is actually one of the very, very few private companies that is signed on. And the PTO doesn't have one. So the problem is that there are athletes who aren't in their national governing body because like the US doesn't oversee long course athletes, for example, or they don't believe it's their problem. They're not in the Ironman body because Ironman only has like 40 athletes in theirs.
Well, yeah. Or and they also, Ironman have said, well, we're going to focus on the athletes that are racing our series. And not
Like they're like, we're not going to provide anti-doping for the PTO.
Yeah.
And so then you are left with like some of the people winning, like through no fault of their own. No, like I'm not saying any, like aren't in any testing pool.
No.
Like they're just not.
Yeah. And they can't raise their hand and say.
You like, can't pick to be like, you have no say as an athlete over whether you're.
No, I mean, I think a lot of athletes have contacted their own federations and said, hey, I'm happy to be on, but it's not their,
decision
or choice. And we shouldn't be.
No.
And I know we're not. And I don't think. Another podcast were necessarily, although it came across a little bit like that.
Naysaying.
We're not casting aspersions. You have no say. And people go in and out of pools all the time. And it's not like people can be pulled out of a pool like this quarter, like were just pulled out, but they were on it last quarter.
So they were checked and multiple times last quarter.
And it has more to do with like how funding's being redirected at the higher level and like who, right? Like Ironman is focusing now on their Ironman pro series athletes.
But if you only just now started paying attention to doping,
you would be all stressed out about this.
You would think that
yes,
XYZ person who isn't in a pool, oh my God, they might be.
Yeah. But, so the frustration is none of this information. And I did listen to the podcast, and they are right in a lot of what they're saying, and that's fine. And you know what? If they're raising the issue and not many people have realized it, hey, it might help us actually get something done.
This is my attitude about like all the people who are shocked about the WNBA minimum salary. Like, I am glad you have joined the train.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome aboard.
Now sit down and shut up.
Yes. Yeah. That's the same. Like, I was like, I have been trying to tell you this at the last few meetings, but nobody's. So none of this information is confidential. So that's the funny thing. It's like, it's not a scoop. It's all public.
You can go through all the records and like find out who was tested when.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all public. The only thing that's a little bit harder is the national federations. It's a bit harder to find out, but if you email and ask, they have to give it because as a code signatory, they have to make it public. There's a lot more complications to people of going, well, why can't PTO just join Ironman, or why can't PTO join World Triathlon? Those conversations have been had in the past, and there's various rumors that PTO turned down Ironman offer. Well, I can say at some stages it was the other way around as well. So it's not just
I don't think the Ironman and PTO are going to run a joint pool. I don't think that's happening.
There is a consensus, and this has... This does come from Ironman. There is a consensus that between us, we should have pools that we cover the majority of athletes.
Yeah. Right.
And so Ironman focus on their athletes. World Triathlon have obviously the Olympics. And then a pool is created with PTO.
Where you have some overlap to the other two pools.
Yeah. Yes, it should have happened already. We are two races into the series. But the fact that it hasn't happened isn't because PTO aren't doing anything about it. It's just more complicated because of the organizations involved. Like, you can also see, I will, as an example, WADA, USADA, Chinese swimming. I'm just going to leave that one there. And the complications with all that's come out.
Sure. So it's complicated.
You've got World Triathlon, you've got ITA, which is International Testing or Organization, whatever authority.
Agency. Yeah, that's you've who got, you like. But ITA is just a third party agency that you can contract with to run this for you if you pay them enough money, basically.
Yes. So that's the thing, but they're overcharging.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you're not going to solve that problem, Sid. Like,
well, so
and the PTO, I'm sorry. I know you're on the PTO board and you're right. They've been working hard. I'm not saying they're not, but PTO is not like they need to just pay whatever ITA is asking for because they are not capable of running their own pool.
No, they're not trying to run their own. But what Michelle is doing is saying, hey, you've double charged.
Athlete is getting.
Whatever,
or actually,
why are you charging this amount when it only actually costs this? And this is what you're so she's trying to do that. And also, you know, there isn't just infinite amounts of money to go and pay an anti-doping.
Yeah, but they're already going to run out of money. They might as well. I'm kidding.
So that's one thing. The other thing that I do think they got wrong is that. There are the dry blood spot testing is still taking place
at the races. Yeah. At like the PTO does do testing at before.
Yeah.
And
they said it didn't. So technically, yes. So we're testing after a race, which is protect the podium. And yes, you can argue whether that's valuable or not, but it still is needed. I feel.
Yeah.
They're doing some random testing pre-race, albeit at the race venue, but technically that is out of competition. But I also appreciate it's not
I was like, weren't like, it wasn't some of your in Kona, everyone gets their out of competition testing like the week
I got
of Kona,
them the day after
the testers
race.
Are like, oh, they'll all be here.
Yeah.
We know where they are, they don't need
that's more the dry blood spot is to build up then like almost like you're getting a blood passport from the athletes, and also with those athletes that are coming in as wild cards where that haven't raced a T100 or a PTO race before, so they're getting random testing before the race. But yes, where we are, the gap is at the moment is there is no out of competition between races. Now
I will say the other thing, when I went down this, like, was the when we started driving this train years ago, is that there's been an increasing focus on investigations, not just because everyone's like more testing.
Of old samples or something?
No, like, because like testing is only as good as it is. And you cannot, it's kind of like saying more tickets, right? It's not going to stop.
Okay.
Right? It's like, yeah. Instead they're doing, so there's been more of a focus on investigations, which means like, who are their coaches? Who do they associate with? How, that, or like looking at, like she's saying, the biological passport and being like, well, these things are suspicious. They're not illegal yet, but let's keep an eye on, let's go and test for this other thing.
Right.
Right. So there's been, and so that then there's less testing, but it's more targeted. And I think that's probably the direction things have to go in.
Are investigations less expensive?
No, they're still really expensive. Oh. But I just think it's the way it has to go.
And also, investigations are more expensive because they charge, and this is again another point on the charging perspective, is that they charge on a, like a rate that like you can't, like you could just throw a, like, because you could say follow this lead, and they go off down these rabbit holes because they're like, oh, this is amazing because we're just going to charge back on an hour.
It's
basis.
Like lawyers.
Sure.
But
it's
hours.
Also like, it also, it's like totally, and I get that, but it's also like, it's probably the only answer in the future because everyone, like if everyone's using ITA, which is like the agency that you contract yeah. with, then they have all the information, right? Then they're able to look across sports and they're able to look at cycling and swimming and then be like, oh,
that's
this
where
person,
I think
like-
one of the delays though is because a few years ago, everyone jumped on the ITA bandwagon and ITA were like, we're now contracted to run this program in swimming, in track or whatever it was in cycling. And then over the last year, people have gone, actually, we're going to take back some of that because we don't. Yeah. So Ironman now have taken back some stuff from ITA. And I think other, because they realize they can do it cheaper.
Sure.
And that they only need ITA to run certain elements of the program. And then I think that's where another level of complication in who's running what.
Yeah, I knew Ironman uses ITA for their investigations, basically, and yeah. for like results management. They don't, they the testing itself, they contract with USADA
exactly.
to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I, this is like, in case anybody wants to go yeah. super down.
I know. it's really funny because, again, I was listening to the podcast and I end up getting really aggravated about that. And now, and it's not like nothing they are saying is wrong. They have facts. It's all
you
true.
You mean like the, what's, it's been in the news. It's been in the,
it's been in the news been and how social, I don't virally, necessarily yeah. agree how it's been presented because I think we've given them facts and they still put a spin on it that would imply, but actually what they're saying factually, apart from the dry blood sort of stuff, was mostly right. But I get so frustrated and upset because I think I'm like you. I'm like, I've been fucking trying to say this for years. Like, and I get upset because I'm like, we are trying to do stuff behind the scenes. And if I could really open my mouth on other issues that are going on, which is why this has slowed down, I really wish I could. But all I'm going to be is like, we are trying to do our best, but it doesn't help when no one else gives a shit.
Yeah,
and now suddenly you're all interested. So, hey, brilliant. This might help us get things through. But you're not the saviors. Like, some of us have been trying to work on this for years on our own. Like,
see, this is how I felt about whatever. This is how I feel about a lot of things in triathlon where I'm like, okay, if you all need to feel like you made this happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't make you make it happen.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm like. getting too connected and emotionally involved and stuff. I raised this at like one of our meetings and said, hey, we just spoken to Ironman. They're about to change their testing pool for Q2 to from Q1 to Q2. A lot of these athletes are going to fall off because they're T100 athletes and Ironman don't want to do that. Here's the spreadsheet I've gone through. I've got picked up World Triathlon testing pool. I've picked up Ironman again, all public. These athletes, we're not sure because they could be on governing bodies. We just don't know. What are we doing and when are we going to do it? And it just is like, yeah. And then now all of a sudden, oh, these guys are going to release this information over the weekend.
You should have made your spreadsheet public on Instagram.
Right.
Should have done it anyway.
Anyway, yeah. We always end with a random question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, here's my random question for you. Ready? You can think about this too. If you were going to run a marathon dressed in a costume.
Oh, what would it be?
What would it be?
Oh, good question.
Like thinking about it. Yeah. I'm always like, one time I ran a race dressed as Wonder Woman and I thought it'd be really practical and it was incredibly hot. Like I was like dying.
Just because of the lycra?
Yeah. Thick. I was
I feel I'm going to be the person with the fridge on my back. I feel I'm going to be that person. Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What would be moderately comfortable?
I know. So you're like, you're like a banana suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like run in one of those inflatable dinosaurs.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that would be funny.
Yeah, that's not so bad. They have little fans in the back.
Fans in them.
You know how when you're on a treadmill and there's the little fan in front of you?
One of my favorite pictures and memories, and it'll come out on Instagram because Ironman Australia is a week after this weekend, is I have a picture of me running down on the run course on this famous bit in the course. And I have Ironman Australia, again, is great for people dressing up and all the fans. And I have like a dinosaur, three Muppets, and someone else on a horse, I think, like running behind me. And the photographers, I think Delicar and Glenn from Corrupt Vision have like just, and Steph Hansen, I would say, like just captured it. And it's like, that's
perfect.
So it's all good fun. But I think I'd be the fridge.
1920s flapper.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Kind
of loose.
Yeah.
Fringe.
Yeah.
In fact, we should be asking Kelly's mom, what's your costume for the weekend for crewing?
Ooh, I don't, I could wear the, it's not a moment.
Right, I think she's going to be wearing our new, it's not a moment, it's a movement t-shirts.
Ah, there we go. Yes.
And then, the little short sweatshirt.
Right, or a crop top. We're going to put her in a crop top.
Yeah.
Loving it. Because loving
a 60-year-old's grandmother's beer belly. Always good.
Love it. It's going to be great.
Perfect. All right. Well, Khadija never rejoined us this time. I think her internet was not good.
Hi, Khadija.
It looks like I have a message from her. So hopefully next week, everyone is back. Yeah. And we had
all like old day. It was like old days to talks.
Right. And it'll be smooth sailing. And thank you everyone for listening. Yes. If you have any good ideas for what you think we should ask people for races, send us a voicemail and we will see you all next week.
Yay.
None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.